and some sheets around. The Shabbos is from read Parshas Kisetze, and whenever we come to Parshas Kisetze, I like to point out that according to the reckoning of the Sefer HaChinuch, there are more mitzvahs in Parshas Kisetze than in any other single set in the entire Torah. According to his count, there are over 70 mitzvahs, 74 mitzvahs, means more than 10% of all the mitzvahs are found in this one Sedra, Parshas Kisetze. If you put it together with last week's Sedra Shoftim, so that's a significant percentage of all the mitzvahs are found in these sedras. So one of the mitzvahs mentioned, that I speak about tonight, is Shatnez and the Uggs controversy. Uggs, for those who are not familiar, are a brand of footwear, slippers, shoes, those kinds of things, sneakers. What's that? Uggs not mentioned in the Torah, but Shatnez is. And I'll speak mostly about Shatnez. We'll get to the Uggs in the end. But the Torah, right? Yeah, that's what somebody said, that sometimes you have these drinks and you can find his name, because it says, you know, fat 0G. You know, Ugg is listed on every bottle. Anyway, but these are Uggs with a U. But anyhow, the Torah doesn't mention that, but does mention Shatnez. And Perek Chav Beis Adorim Pasuk Yud Aleph, the first source, in our Sedra, in Parshas Kisetze, it says, L'silba Shatnez Semer Ufishtim Yachlev. You shouldn't wear Shatnez. And it defines, what is Shatnez? Wool and linen together. Okay, it's an unusual word, Shatnez. Shin Ayin Test Nun Zayin, a very unusual word. So Rashi says here in Perek Chav Beis, what's the Aleph in the Arsed? It says Shatnez Loshon Eruv. It's a word which means a combination, some sort of combination. Not Eruv like we can carry, although the Eruv, in a certain sense, is also a combination because it combines all the people in the enclosed area as one unit, one family. That's the real definition of an Eruv. The Eruv is not actually the wires and the posts and the doors and the walls. The Erev is actually the box of matzah, or the matzah, whatever food, kind of unites everybody. That's why if you pay attention, they have a sign here on the bulletin board as you walk out in the corner. It says the box of matzah. So the Erev is located right here in the shul, in the study that's off the new main. Okay, that's what the box of matzah. That means that everybody who lives in the town is united as one family, so to speak. On Shabbos, that enables us to carry. So even that word, Erev, that use of that word, Erev, comes from the word combination, according to most authorities. But anyway, the word Shatnez means a combination, but then he says, Rabboseinu Pirshu, our Chachamim told us that it's actually an acronym. It's made up of three different words. Shua, Tevi, Venuz. Shatnez, Shua, Tevi, Venuz. Shua means that it's combed. The thread is combed. Tevi means it is spun. Okay, and Nuz means it's twisted, it's twined. Okay, we'll get to that in a second. That's what the word Shatnez means. This prohibition of Shatnez is found in one other place in the Chumash, also in Parshas Kedoshim. It's also said in lots of misses. In Vayikra Perek Yutes, Pasuk Yutes, there it says in the beginning of Source 3, as chukosai tishmoru, observe my chukim, behem techolo sarbia kilayim. Kilayim means cross or mixed breeding. Do not breed your animals, behem techolo sarbia kilayim, and you can't mate animals that are not the same. Okay, so for example, to mate a horse and a donkey, to create a mule, that you're not allowed to do. Sodcho lo sizra kelayim, you can't plant, seeds of mixed different species, different types of plants together to create, let's say, what is it, a nectarine, I think, or is a hybrid, or these kinds of things. Doesn't mean you can't use it once it's created, but in terms of these things you're not allowed to do. And for our purpose tonight, ubeget kelayim, and a garment which has mixture, specifically shatnez, lo yale alecha, you can't put on top of you. So Rashi comments over there in Parshas Kedoshim, since the Torah there introduces this mitzvah with the phrase, eschukosai tishmoru, okay, so Rashi says in Source 4, by Yikra Perikotas Pasikotas, chukim elu gzeros melech she'en tam l'dover. These are divine decrees. Okay, we don't really understand what the reason is, what's to be wrong with crossbreeding, what should be wrong with wearing a garment made out of woolen linen. We don't understand. It's not a mitzvah that has an obvious rational explanation. It's Gezeras Melech, the king's decree, a divine decree, and has no real reason. Despite that, as we'll see in a moment, many commentaries do try and offer some sort of rationale behind it. Okay, for example, the Chizkuni, here, one of the Rishonim, here in our Sedrin Kisei, Perek Chav Beis Pasuk Yud Aleph, writes as follows, Tzemer Pishim Yachlev, why not? Because a great tragedy happened because connected in connection with these two things. Therefore, because Baruch Hu prohibited them together. What's the great tragedy? We look back in Chumash Bereishis, Hevel, from Cain and Hevel. Right? Hevel, Hevi Mibichoros Tzono. The offering that Hevel brought was from the sheep, where wool comes from. Cain, Hevi Mizera Piston. Cain brought a plant offering, which came from linen, okay, flax, from linen. So therefore, and that led, we all know what happened, so Therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu distanced these two things. We shouldn't wear garments in a made of wool and linen together. That's his first suggestion. Davaracher, lefi mishnesh mishnei and big day kahuna. There is one place where you're allowed to have shatnez, indeed required to have shatnez in your garments, and that is certain of the Kohanim's clothes, at least the Kohen Gadol's clothes, garments, those special garments, were made out of shatnez. So therefore, since it's set aside for the Kohanim, he's here in the love of Shemachal, Rakhlam and Sharasad, Mishasavarasad. Special rule that the Kadosh Baruch Hu's, you know, ministers, so to speak, can wear these special garments, but a common person doesn't wear them, right? I mean, we find in society in general there were certain things which only nobility could wear. An average person couldn't wear them, huh? Yeah, some suggest that the reason why Tcheles, the manufacturing process of Tcheles, was lost over the years, because at one time the Romans decreed you couldn't wear, it was only upper-class people that could wear colored, we have an expression in English now, earning your stripes. Right, because only higher-ranking people could wear colored stripes and so on. Or in the military, you have stripes on the side, right? Because the average person not supposed to do that. So since the Kohanim, again, that's why some suggest, became illegal for anybody to wear garments with tchelet, except for the aristocrats. Yeah.
Are those like two sides of the same coin?
What do you mean?
Hevel and Cain brought korbanos themselves.
Yeah.
Now the Kohanim.
Okay, maybe it's related. Maybe it's related. Could be. But there it's because it was a bad thing. So you want to hear it's because it's reserved for the higher class. Just to see the psukim, so you look in Bereishis Parag Galad, Parag Bereishis, starting in Pasuk Gimel, Vahimi Ketom, Vahavi Kain Mi Pri Hadama Mincha Vashem. It doesn't say in the Pasuk what his offering was. It says Mi Pri Hadama, for something that grows in the ground. So it was a plant. It doesn't say what it was. And it says in Pasuk Galad, Vahavel, Havi Gamu Mi Bchor Tzono Lechavim, and Hevel brought from his sheep. Okay, Vayisha Hashem al Hevel min Chosel. Hashem accepted the offering of Hevel, and the pasuk Hevel Kain min Chosel lo shah, and Kain's offering wasn't accepted. Vayicha leKain mo vayipulufonam, and Kain got very angry. And again, we know what happened next. Okay, the Pirkei de Belezer, early midrashic source in Parak Chof Aleph, Pirkei de Belezer. It says, Hevi Kain mosa macholo. The Pirkei de Belezer quotes this rabbinic tradition. It doesn't say in the pasuk, but it's a rabbinic tradition that he brought was from the flax of the linen plant. The Hevi Hevel, and he brought the stuff which related to wool. The Nis of Minchas Kain, the Nis is Minchas Hevel. Kain's offering was rejected, and Hevel's was accepted. Shemar etc. So we show ben Karcha Omer in the second line of seven. Omer Kodesh Baruch Hu, Al Yisarvu Minchas Kain veHevel Olam. The offerings of Kain and Hevel should be separate. Shema Chas Yisrael, he said, Eric Beged, this should be made into a garment. Shenemar, Afilo Silva Shatnez, etc., etc. Okay? That's the Pirkei de Belezer. The Medrash Tanchuma and Parshas Bereishis over there in Siman Tes, in Source 8, also says like that. Okay? It says, Vayavi, kind of second line, Mipri Adama, Mahu, Mimosam Acholab, Rabbanan Amruzera Pishtahaya. Rabbanan, again, it's a rabbinic tradition, part of the oral tradition. It was from the linen family. Hevel Gamhu Avi, Mchorison, Mechaben, Lefichach, Nesar Tzemer Fishim Shemar Osuba Shatmiz Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu Ain Odin. It's not proper. She is Arev Minchas Achote Minchas Zakai. The offering of the sinner Kayan should not be combined with the offering of Hevel, the righteous person, and therefore it's forbidden. As far as the Big Day Kahuna, I just want to point out a psukim. So you see, you look in Parshas Tetzaveh, Shmos Perek Chavches Pusik Vav, says there also as a ephod. One of the garments is the ephod. We call it a coin girdle, a type of apron type garment. And it's what it's made out of. Tcheles argoman tola shoni, b'sheish mosa masei choshev. So it's made out of zohav, actually, first. Tcheles argoman and tola shoni are all different types of different colors of dyed wool. Tcheles a bluish color, argoman a purplish color, tola shoni a reddish color, but it's wool. Wool dyed that color. B'sheish, sheish is not six, sheish is linen. Okay, b'sheish mosar. Or sorry, I mean spun or twined linen. So the ephod is made. Okay, as Rashi says there in Parakhav Ches Pasuk Vav Shmos 10, right? Zav Tcheles Argoman etc. Chameshes Minim Halol Shazurin B'chol Chut B'chut. These five things: gold, the blue, the purple, the red, and the sheish, the spun or the twined linen was woven into the garment. Huh?
Okay, so that it shouldn't be. I mean,
from the you weave it. Without like, weaving, is the last step.
But,
right.
But the wool and the linen have to be twisted.
We'll see.
Just the words here. It sounds like you have twisted fibers of wool.
Of each one,
and
each fiber.
Separate twisted fibers of linen, but they're not twisted together.
Right. So let's. Well, no. That's the question. Apparently, Rashi. The way Rashi says it is, Chamesh min halal shezur mechol chut vechut. Every thread was interwoven with these things. Each thread was, that's what Rashi says, yeah? Okay. That's the Eifod. And similarly, that was in Perachav Ches, Pasuk Vav, which was also in Perachav Ches, Pasuk Tez Vav, talks about the Chosh and the breastplate, and also says, Sisa Chosh and Mishpat Maasei Choshen, Kemaasei Eifod. Has the same ingredients, quote-unquote, as the Eifod, right? Namely, Kemaasei Eifod, Tazen Azov, Tchelis Ragam, Sosanim, Shesh Basad, Tazel Zov. Like the Eifod, Maasei Choshen, Chamesh is meaning. So those two of the priestly garments, the Big Bekon, the Kohen Gadol, were made out of the wool and linen interwoven. And then in the Parshas Pekudei, I'm speaking about the Avnate was a belt, okay, in Parakalama Tess of Shmos, Pasuk Chav Tess, as Avnate Shei Shmos are also. Now that's a question because the Avnate, the belt that was also by the Kohen Hedges, so that's a question whether only the Kohen Gadol's Avnate was made from these things and therefore had shotness in it, or the Kohen Hedger as well. It's a big subject, not for right now. Anyway, there's a mission, Maseches Kelayim, there's a Masechta called Kelayim. We only have it in terms of the Bavli, we only have Mishnayos. There's no Talmud Bavli on Maseches Kelayim. Nothing in Zeroyim has Talmud Bavli except for Brachas. But everything else is just Mishnayos, but there's a Talmud Yerushalmi in Kelayim. So the Mishnah says in Kelayim, Perek Tes Mishnah Aleph, Ein ha-kohanim lov shemusham mitzvah mitosh elat several fishtim. The Mishnah makes a general statement. The garments of the kohanim were made of wool and linen. That's the only material that their garments were made out of. So, but then as far as Yisrael explains, in Oz Gimel there, in Parakas Mishnah Oz Gimel, elat several fishtim depends on the garment. Yesh mibigdein shoot several levad. Some of their garments were just wool. Yesh pishtim levad. Some were linen. So we don't know, it's a big machlokas. But in any event, getting back to the Chizkuni, in our sedger, the Chizkuni in 14, in Parashat Kedoshim, says more or less the same thing in Parashat Kedosh. Parashat Kedosh of the Yikri. It says, the sheish is linen and tcheles is wool. Dumiya dechele v'dam v'shamishchak Torah shenesu, d'havale kemishtameish b'sharvito shomela. If an ordinary person wear this, it's like using the scepter of the king, so to speak. These garments were reserved for the ministers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the Kohanim, and therefore a common person shouldn't wear it. Okay. On the page here in Parshas Kisaita, the regular Mikros Gadol, source 15, the Dazuk Kenu Balatosus, here in Kisaita, the Baruch Hav Beis Yud Aleph, has an expanded point as well as Silva Shatnes, Bisha Paroches, Nasem Yishesh, Yishesh Kitna, with Chelis, Yishesh Imra Haritzer, Vishim Yachlov. The curtains and other accoutrements of the Mishkan and subsequently the Beis HaMikdash were also made. And therefore, again, it's not just that the Big Day Kahuna, but there are various other things also. So just like we find in general, a person is not supposed to make for his own personal use a menorah for his house that's exactly a replica of the menorah of the Mikdash of the Beis HaMikdash. You can't make a shulchan that's a, you're not allowed to use, make a replica, right? You're not allowed to make the ketorah. You can take all the ingredients and you'll make a fragrance. That's not allowed to do that. Okay, you're not allowed to make the exact replica for yourself based on psukim. Okay, etc. Okay, therefore, says the Dasa Kanabalatosis, wearing garments with shatnez is inappropriate because that's reserved for the service. And by the way, when I said the Kohanim can wear it, it was only when they were in service. You know, they couldn't wear it home. The Kohen Gadol couldn't wear it in the street. Okay, or they were traveling around. It was just in the Mikdash. So it's reserved for that. And then the Dasa Kanabalat tells us about to give the other reason. The last line of 15. Okay. The Rabban in Parashat Kedoshim really gives a different reason, a more general reason. He's talking about Kelayim in general. Why are you not allowed to crossbreed animals and mix seeds and so on?
What do you
Yes, so this is an old question, you know, are we, so the Torah doesn't give a reason, we don't know for sure, but we're trying to say we don't know for sure, okay, it's a divine decree, but we'll try and figure out what's behind it, and we find out what part, then we find also, right, that's the whole question, but the Lamaisa, we try to figure out a reason, we don't know for sure, that's the point, we say it's a chok, means it's not an obvious or clearly stated reason, but it could be that there is some reason. So they try to figure out what might be behind it, what lesson might be behind it. Ramban writes that the general rule by Kelayim is Ki Hashem Bara Hamina Ba'olam. This is Ramban and Kedoshim. It says Ki Hashem Bara Hamina Ba'olam. Because Baruch Hu created the world the way he wanted it, and the species and everything else. Okay? And he wanted these to be the species. That's why it always says in the Torah, Leminehu and Parshas Bereishis. He made this Leminehu and that Leminah and that Leminehem, right? Different shades of those species. But we don't. And that's why we're supposed to get together with mates with people, you know, people of our own type, right? With children and so on, same with animals. Somebody wants to crossbreed two things. It's like you're rejecting, so to speak, Kadosh Baruch Hu. You're saying, I'm going to improve on the world. I mean, he didn't do good enough. Okay, his job wasn't good enough. As if he didn't. Therefore, I got to. It's not right. It's almost like offending our Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak. And then he says, Ramban later, in the end of the last line of 16, the Tom, kill I begodim. Lahachik HaKaruz Minim, again, to keep things far away from cross-mixing. That's the Ramban. Rabbeinu Bachya, there in Kedoshim also, first, it's Chukosai Tishmaru. He mentions Alder HaPshat. Okay, it's because everything has, you know, it's a corresponding, Kadosh Baruch Hu set everything up the way he wanted it, corresponding to some sort of Hashgacha that each item has over it, and someone who mixes it in, so then he's cross-mixing, and it's not right. And then he writes in the second paragraph, Al Derech HaKabbalah B'Sodus, the mystical side of Mitzvah Kelayim, is because the first human beings that were born in the world, Kain and Hevel, right? I mean, they were the first people born of normal birth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Adam and Rishon were created directly by, Adam and Chava were created directly by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not through, you know, normal channels of having children. Kain and Hevel were the first, okay? And one had a Ruach Tova, one had a Ruach Ra. So therefore, we should stick to the Ruach Tova, not combine them, and this represents them. Okay, whatever the, similar to what we said before. Okay, then he mentioned about the Karbona, so we keep it far away. The Rambam has a different reason altogether. Famous. The Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvot, Mitzvot Los HaSeh Membeis 18, he says, the reason is, HaMitzvah Membeis, she's Harno Milvosh, Beged Arug B'Tzem Vishim Kimosh, Ho Lov Shim Kumre Avodah Zarah. Because the priests of Avodah Zarah, the idolatrous priests, wore garments like that. Idolatrous priests. Okay, right. Okay, it's a good question. But he said it was, I guess, very common there. And before Samayo, even today, Ram lived in Mitzrayim, so I guess he knew what was going on there. So mine just an interesting thing. You know, you ask who had it first. That's an old problem, right? But then it became certain things which Chazal. Like, for example, we had last week not to make a, not to build a matzeva, a one-stoned altar. Okay? So what? But it used to be Bereishis. We had it up Roman. Yeah. They took it over, so we don't do it anymore. Other things like that. My, one of my sons just took the bar exam, whatever. So afterwards, for vacation, he's now in Bali, in Indonesia. So it's very beautiful. He arranges Chabad, the Chabad there. But so he said he was on some sort of, I guess he texted me earlier this week, he was on some sort of a hike. Okay. No. What he saw was, he just told me, so not only indirectly, he saw these Hindu priests, and they were taking a goat. This is mountain climbing there. And they were taking a goat, and they informed the group that they're going to push this goat off the cliff as a prayer that there should be a good year, a prosperous year for Pala. That's what he texted me, you know, so it's interesting. I don't know, you know, one of my daughters wrote back in a WhatsApp, maybe you found one of the 10 lost tribes. He said he couldn't believe it, because they asked him why they do it. It's part of a prayer that this should be a fruitful and prosperous year, and I don't know what year starts then. I mentioned this to Rabbi Savalovsky, so he said, you know, this was on Tuesday. This past Tuesday. So, you know, the Sari Lazozel in Kippur, the 10th day of the 7th month. So, this September originally the 7th month, the 10th day of the 7th month. Was that a coincidence? Who knows? But anyway, so there are different things which the other people picked up also. So, apparently, it was picked up by the Egyptian idolaters to wear these kinds of garments. Therefore, we stay away from it. And the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim says that as well, Paragimel, Chela Gimel, Paragimel, Zion 19, Hine Biarnu. Certain things, a whole bunch of things that we don't do because the priests do it. The goyish priests, the idolatrous priests do it. One is cutting off the payas and other things like that because mehipnesha nu tikun kum avrazar. Who has siba gam kain lesar shatnez? It's also the shatnez because that's how they do it. Ki kain ayu tikun akumarim, and they still do it and so on. Okay. Anyway, so we have, despite, as Antti pointed out, despite Rashi's statement that it's a chok, it's a divine decree, which we don't understand, we had a bunch of different suggestions. Okay, what exactly is the Isser? All right, so if you look in the Mishnah that said, in Kilayim, Perek Tes, that's what it talks about, Kilei Beged, right? Again, there's really four different types of Kilayim, right? There's Kilei Behema, which is, you know, of course, being animals, and there's Kilei Zroim, which is, of course, being seeds, and it's Kilei Akerem, a special thing you can't mix with, a separate thing you can't mix, grain seeds with fruit. Okay, why that's separate, again, I'm not going to that now. And then there's Kilei Begadim. So the Gemara Mishnah says, rather, Perek Tes Mishnah Ches, Ein Asim Mishum Kilayim. You know, Torah level, what is Kilayim? If you have Elatovu Yvorug, Shenem Arlasuba Shatnez Dover Shushua Tevinuz. Come back to the acronym, which according to Chazal, the word Shatnez stands for Shua Tevinuz, which means the thread is combed and it's spun and it's twined together, wool and linen. Okay? What do these words mean? So Ravadu Bartanura there in Kilayim Paraktes Meshaches writes Shui Tevinuz, Shua Sorok Bimasre, comb, Masrek the comb. It's smoothed down, it's combed with a comb, like felt, right? In other words, it's combed down, and very smooth. That's what the word shua means. We have another area of shua, it's smooth. It's smoothed down, it's combed down. Nuz is shazur, twine, you know, twisted like a thread. Okay, you look at it, it's a thread, right? It's twisted. Right? Behind ubei is chutin, shazur and yachad. Right? The ikar kilayim in a Torah, she had tzemer, sorok, v'tevi, v'shozul, levado. Bartanur says, midoraisa, what it means, when you have to have these three processes, combing, spinning, and twining, it's the wool, like you said before, actually, the wool threads are combed, spun, and twine, and the linen threads are combed, spun, and twine, and then they're attached. That's what Bartanur says. Hold that thought. Again, there's no... Huh? Now, Rashi said, well, we'll have to be attached. Attached by state techivas, a double attachment, a strong attachment. Okay, that's a big machok, is what I mean. But let's see. But before I get to that shita, because that's really Tosas and probably the majority shita, okay, the Gemara in Nida, Baf Samach Aleph Mabez, brings up this topic. Again, there's no Bavli in Maseches Kilayim on the Mishnayos, but it does come up in other places. So the... So the Gemara says, "Zavachav Beis in 22." Amar Achaber Davyevim Mishel Rezutra High Man Rami Chutu the Kitam Beglimed Amar Vanatke Veloreda Inatik Lei Nolatik Shapir Dami. My time in the Daraisa. If you just have a thread that got lost in a garment, it's on Darbanan. Okay, if it wasn't wound and spun together, just a linen thread somehow got sewn in, and it didn't undergo all these three processes and so on, and you don't know where it is because it's only a suffix rabbanon. Why? Because midoraisa shatnes k'siv ad sheyeshua tevinuz, like we mentioned before. And the rabbanon said, in any connection, therefore, it's a suffix rabbanon. Now, Amar of Ashi, who says it has to be all three together? Shua tevinuz has to be combed and spun and twined. Maybe shua tevinuz means as long as it's either combed or spun or twined. That's Ravashi's kasher, right? Oh, sure, tell you, oh, no. Who says all three? Who says the thread of wool and the thread of linen has to undergo all three of these processes? Maybe one suffices. That's a machlokas of Asher and Rav Zutra. Rav Zutra said, Rav Asher, who says you're right? But the Gemara concludes, the way we have in our text, V'hilchas ha'kim Rav Zutra. Halachas ha'kim Rav Zutra. Because in Afkin Rachmana, B'chad Elishna, the word is shatnez. It's one word. So one word implies that it has to have all three of these processes. Again, to be considered shatnez d'oraisa, we're talking about now. Rashi learns a little differently. Look at Rashi, 23. Rashi there in Nida Samach Alvim Beis. Shua, Loshon Cholok, smooth, Targum Shalom Shia, Klomar Shu Chalukin Yachad. The key word here is Yachad. The wool and the linen should be combed together with a comb. They comb them together. And Vitevi Yachad. Okay? And Venuz also. So according to Rashi, all three processes have to be done. In order to violate Shatnez Doraisa, according to Rashi, all three of these processes have to be done the wool and linen threads have to be combed together, spun together, and twined together. That's what Rashi says. Okay, Tosas, that's not what the Bartanur said, because Tosas disagrees with Rashi. Tosas, there in Nida, Samachal Beis Dumaschul Shul Tevinuz, says, he asked a few kashas on Rashi. One of the kashas is, one of the places they talk about, it's also from this week's Seder, one of the places they talk about shatnez is with regard to tzitzis. Okay, because in tzitzis, you can't have it. So you have a linen garment and woolen tzitzis, theoretically, right? If you assume you have tchelis, you have mekayim mitzvah. So, Gemara said, well, isn't that a problem of Shabbos? What do you mean? They're just tied together. So Tosfos says, according to Rashi, there wouldn't be a problem anyhow. Okay, so Tosfos says he has several kashas against Rashi. And look in 24, he says, U'mefarish Rabbi Tam, the midoraisa shatnes kiv aisha shua tevinuz, all three, but shua kol echad levado. Whereas Rashi said yachad, what does Rabbi Tam say? Levado. Each individual, each, the linen and the wool, each one has to go these three parts, not together. Kol echad levado. The chain nami tovet, the chain nuz levado. Then v'acharkach yachtav l'chabrom. Then you bind them together. So that's Tosin's opinion. Machlokas Rashi and Tosin. No question, they have to be together. But according to Rashi, they have to be combed, spun, and twined together. According to Rabbi Tam, no. Each of the three has to be each of the two, rather, the linen and the wool, have to be combed, twined, spun, and twined, but individually, and then you link them together. Okay, that's the position of Tosin's. The Ramban and his Chidushim over there in Nida, Samach Aleph, and Mabez would also seem to agree with the Ramban agrees with, it seems, with Tosfos, because he quotes Kach Pirshu Tam, Shua Kolechad Cholok Masik La'atzmo. Okay, each one is individually. He says La'atzmo, Levado, same idea. Okay, and then it's connected. And that's what that's how they he learns in the words like that, and therefore that's how most of the Rishonim learn, and that's how the Bar Tanura said it.
No one okay. Said how it's connected.
Well, not yet. So now we turn to that next source, 26. The Gemara in Yuval Mustaf Hamabez. Okay, hammered bays. Again, according to Rabbi Natam, as long as each individual thread was, both the wool and the linen individually, was combed, spun, and twined, then it's prohibited if you join them together. How do you join them together? Okay? How do you join them together? So the Gemara says as follows. Okay? Again, this is all to be Shatnez Doraisa. Okay? Now, what does the Gemara say? If I'm as hammered bays, in Cain, whereas Lema Krah, what do you have to have the word yachtov? It's in our parsha, right? Source one, parsha Kiseitzei, parakol peis posagal. Losuba shatnei tzemur fishtim yachtov. Just say tzemur fishtim. What do you mean yachtov? Together, obviously together. So if the garment is tzemur fishtim, that means yachtov. So the Gemara says shvamin alafnuya. It's available to teach something else. And then the Gemara says no, it's to tell you, okay, that it has to be solidly or permanently tied together. Shtei techifos. Okay, two tyings, so to speak. Techifa achas, eno chibur. Because that's not something that can come apart very easily. So let's say a double knot as opposed to a single knot. Right? Something can easily come apart, so that's not called together. That's what the Yachtov teaches. It has to be together. Okay? So, as Yeshua, Tevye knows, and so on, and it has to be together. So it has to be a strong connection. So that's the idea I'm getting at. All right. Now, there's a lot of discussion. Okay, what if it's a temporary link, like buttons? Okay, it comes apart pretty easily, but on the other hand, it won't come apart if you don't take it apart, right? Or, for example, zippers, these kinds of things, until they're modern. So that's a question which, again, lemaisa, it has to be lifting. It's going to be also the rabbanan anyway, so it's really only a question whether it's a deraisa. All right, anyway, that's the Gemara over there. All right, Rashi has explained that you have to have two tchifos. He says, shechabim yachad yofet. It's nicely bound together or permanently. Okay.
What's the usually a rabbanon if they're against becoming something else? Like, what is the, why is there a rabbanon level of shatnez?
Okay, that's an interesting question. But the answer is because they want to keep away from any combination of women. If the guy thinks they can wear it, as long as it's somewhat connected, then he'll get where wear it when it's really connected. Somewhere along those lines. Right? Okay, now, there is a, I just want to point out, there's a Gemara in Horios, on the Yud Aleph Mun Aleph, 28. Gemara in Horios talks about somebody who's a tzaduki, he ochel nevela and shreifis, eats all these non-kosher things, that, you know, and it becomes called the mummer. So Yosef Yehuda says he's also called the mummer if he loves kelayim. He wears a shatnez, and a discussion about shatnez d'rabbanan and shatnez d'oraisa. Anyway, Rashi there in 29, Dumas Rabbi Yossi writes, Sabar Yosef af halavush nami kelayim d'rabbanan have mummer. Dehainu o shoel o tavi o nuz. Rashi admits that if you have only one of the three processes, only comb, only spun, only twine, it's still asid rabbanon. That's what I'm pointing out. Okay, it's still asid rabbanon. It may not be a deraisa, but rabbanon asid it. Okay? The Rambam in the Perish HaMishnah, the Rambam we know wrote a commentary to the Mishnah, it's called Perish HaMishnah Rambam, there in Kilayim Perik Tes, Mishnah Ches, not to say it outside, he appears to agree with Rashi. that the wool and the linen must be combined via these three processes together. The wool and linen and it has to be combed together, spun together, and twined together. That's what it looks like from the Perish HaMishnah. Okay?
One fiber.
Right, and but it's the three processes are acting on the two things together. Not like toasted, the three processes are acting on the linen and then the wool, and then they're tied together some other way. The Rama appears in the Perish Mishnah agrees with Rashi. However, in the Mishnah Torah, the Aruch HaZoka, he doesn't say that. Hilchos Kelayim Perek Yud Halach HaBeis, okay, and Beis and Gimel, okay, apparently he goes against this because here he says, Kevon Sheniska Nischaber HaTzemer HaPishtin Tzad Chibor Ba'olam, any type of connecting it. Harei Zeh Kelayim Min HaTorah. So it doesn't have to be combed, spun, and twined together. It's as long as it's joined together in any which way. Right, so that's, and then he says, Ketzad, Tzavavishnah is Tarfan Zemzeh, whatever you say, different ways to do it. Okay? So that's the bottom line, according to the Rambam, he seems to disagree. And in Halacha Gimel, he takes it even a step further. Okay? In the Halacha Gimel, he says that even if only one of these three processes was done, it's also enough. So he really is expanding the definition. All right? Now, there's a lot of discussion in other authorities. The Vilna Gaon on that mission, the Vilna Gaon's commentary on the Mishnayos and the Seder Zohar called Shnos Elio, 32 Shnos Elio and Kelayim Perek Tes Mishnah Ches. Okay, he says there are a number of different interpretations how you do it. Every interpretation has kashas. Okay, the Rashi's way, Tos is the way, the Rambam's way, and so on. Okay, and the Torah being the Sheshua Tevenuz biyachad, I will show O Tevenuz and Rasm Darbonon. And they ask against the Rambam, he seems to pass him the other way, but he thinks the Rambam is right, that even less of a connection is really a connection. So that's a big discussion. I think if you're interested in seeing further, so look, take a look at the Aruch HaShulchan Kedarko in Yerodea Simon Shin. These Dinim of Hilchos Kelayim found in the last section of Yerodea Simon Shin. It actually starts in Reisad Ches, but in Simon Shin, it's Sif Aleph through Hey. This Aruch HaShulchan has Kedarko needs somewhere the sheet as a Rishonim, right? He starts off that is what the Torah says according to Rashi. He says, Beis, take a look at Chol Rabosenu Eskimo Divir Ben Adatam. Most authorities agree with Ben Adatam that the linen and wool threads individually have to undergo the three processes and connect to Huza, Hatosus, Asmag, Barashbo, Barash, Vador. Okay, he has a pack of people who hold like that. He says that's the majority. And he writes in Ziv Gimel that some say even Rashi really believes that. So Mizrahi says, Siv Dalid, Omnom Bidas HaRambam Zal Rav Sahamavucha. Regarding the Shita of the Rambam, there's a lot of confusion. Because in Perish HaMishnayos, he seems to say one thing, and the Aruch HaZoka, he says nothing. It's not the first time that's ever happened. So which one does he really paskin like? We assume when it says the Aruch HaZoka. Others try to rectify the Shita. In fact, the Kesef Mishnah, I didn't quote, because it's very technical, but he said, you know, the Perish HaMishnah of the Rambam was originally written in Arabic. In fact, the Rambam, many of his works, he originally wrote in Arabic. The Mishnah Berurah also was originally written in Arabic. He originally wrote in Arabic. The Mishnah Torah was Hebrew from the outset. The Mishnah Torah, the Aruch HaZoka, the Rambam wrote in Hebrew from the beginning. But other works he wrote in Arabic. That was the vernacular. That was the spoken language where he lived. So he wanted it to be accessible to the people. So he wrote it in Arabic, and later it was translated to Hebrew. There's a famous translating for the Ibn Tibon family. Were known as the translators. They translated the different things. So it's interesting. Rav Shmuel Ibn Tibon, in his introduction to one of his translations of the Rambam from Arabic into Hebrew, he writes that he's doing as best he can do it. He's not really perfectly fluent in Arabic, but he's going to do it as best as he possibly can. In more modern times, Rav Kafach, I'm telling you, Rav Kafach was a great Yemenite scholar. Died not that long ago. By his Shloshim, I think. I wasn't there when he died. I wasn't there to but somehow that saw his Shloshim. I had something in Shul then, or Rav Yosef spoke, whatever, so I went there. Anyway, Rav Kafach was a Yemenite scholar, and so most people assume when they read of Shmuel Ibn Tibon's introduction, he's saying, I don't really speak Arabic so clearly. They assume that he's being modest, you know, he's trying to show off. Rav Kafach said, no, he wasn't being modest. Rav Kafach grew up speaking Arabic in Yemen. You know, he speaks fluent Arabic, and he was a scholar. He knew Arabic, you know, as a linguist, and he said he really wasn't perfectly fluent in certain things. He made a mistake and so on. So today they have modern translations of like the most sort of Cook editions and so on of the Rambam's Ornavuchim and of the Perish HaMishnah and so on from Rav Kafach's translation. Anyway, the Kesef, I don't bring this up now because the Kesef Mishnah says if you look in the Arabic, original Arabic, you know, it says Rambam says something different. So there are different ways to work out what the Rambam meant. Okay. Now, anyway, The Gemara on Yevamos earlier on Daf Dalam Bey discusses the following. If you look back at the original Psukim, our Psukim say, our Pasuk compared in Parshas Kisetze says, Lo Silba Shatnes. And over there in Parshas Kedoshim, it says, Lo Yale Alecha. Shouldn't even go on top of it, even if you're not wearing it. Lo Silbash means wearing it as a malbush, as a garment, okay, clothing. And here it says you can have it on top of you. So let's say you have a blanket. You shouldn't sleep under a blanket made out of Shatnes. Okay? A bunch of years ago before the Uggs Conjure, there was a problem with the baseball mitts. You don't remember that? They found that certain mitts, because they're stuffed with stuff, you know, the pad when the ball hits it, right? They found that they thought there was shotness in certain baseball gloves. Okay? But I'm saying, even if something you wear, so that's the Gemara in Yevamos Dalam Beis. Take a look. Okay? 34.
Wear something you wear?
But that's the thing. It's not just wearing, it's on, even over you, if it's not a garment, like a blanket. Okay? And it's a mythic. Kosa Vegan comes Shatnas Galalecha. Well, Suba Shatnas Amali. Once the Gemara asks, once you have the Pasuk in Kedoshim, so what is added by Well, Suba Shatnas? Try it off, it must be available for Droshim. Whereas, no. Hani Mitzvah Suicha, we need it. The Kosa Amali Alecha, Hava Amina Kol Derech Hala Osarachmon. I would put any time that's on you, the Torah asks, Afilu Mochrei Ksus. Mochrei Ksus are people who sell clothes. So sometimes, when they push up things, they wear several. Like the guy with the watch, you roll up the sleeves, got 9 watches on his arm, you know, when I buy a watch. Okay, so people who sell clothes also wear several, you know, that's how you move around. Not wearing it for warmth or comfort or anything like that. They're wearing it because he's got several jackets. That's how he, that's his peddler. That's how his peddler transports his wares. Okay?
People that were very moderate that were afraid to sit on
the we'll get to the thing. We'll get to the second. Okay, but I'm saying wearing these, things or...
Tax collector or something.
We'll get to that also. Another thing. Well, today, you know, if you don't want to bring a suitcase on a plane and pay for the extra baggage, so you wear 3 jackets.
As opposed to like using it to cover.
So he says that wearing is okay because it would have said just lo yale alecha. I would have thought it can't go on you at all.
Right,
it's a different benefit though. So comes the pasuk lo yilbash. Our parsha says he's got to be wearing it as a garment for direct, you know, warmth or you know, and so on. So therefore, it says Lo Subash, Duma Delvisha, because of Rachmona Lo Subash, I'm Zafka Delvisha, Nafish Anasa, Allah Lo, because my Allah Yalla. So if it had just a puzzle, you would have thought it really has to have a lot of Hanoi as opposed to something which, let's say, a scarf, which is limited. No, that's also us because you are wearing it. Okay, so you need both Sukkim. All right, that's what comes out. We look at the Sukkim Aruch. Let's turn to 36 of Sukkim Aruch. Every day it's in the Shin. Devalet. Kevin Shinishchaber Atem Shim Tzad Chibur Ba'Olam. Any type of connection, awesome is from Kelayim. Ketzad, kind of, that's what he says. It's Kelayim with any connection. Now, you can't really tell who he's siding with because on a Deraisa Rabbanan question because he doesn't tell you what he's talking about Deraisa Rabbanan. Right? But the bottom line is, even at least the Rabbanan, any type of linking the wool and linen, that's already a violation. Okay? The Shohar, that's clear from the Shohar. It doesn't tell you what he means. Okay? The Shach says in most cases, that's how we assume. Truth is, most shatnez today is probably drabon, because certainly according to Rashi, they don't. That's how they make it. They don't comb, spin, and twist the things together. It's still part of what provides you the warmth and the comfort. But still, in Hanami, it's most like most shatnez question today is drabon. Okay, that's what comes out. All right. The Bir HaGra in Sivkot and Aleph 39 says that he thinks the Rambam is right, and what does the Rambam exactly mean? I'm not going to say something, we'll go into that. Now let's look at 40, because it comes to your point. Okay? Now, your point. It says, in Perek Tes Mishnah Beis, Hakorim v'haksosos, pillows, or, you know, things that you were bedding, there's no problem with Kelayim, okay, as long as your body doesn't touch it directly. Okay? In other words, if you have several pillows, you have something underneath or something. Now, what does that mean? Okay, let's look in the Bar Tanur 41. We shall assume a shchiva, because these linen bedding is made to lie on, not to have on you. The issue is lo yale alecha. Here, you're on it, right? You have we call it linen. I call it bedding now, so to keep out of linen and wool. But you know what do you call the bedding, the stuff that you make, the sheets, bed sheets, pillowcase, stuff like that, bed sheets. Okay, they're made for shechiva. The Torah says, "Alecha." Okay, you put it under you. But now he makes a distinction of what the material is out of. And that's the whole question with certain types of chairs, certain types of carpeting. Okay? It really depends, is it plush or not? Okay? Carpeting like we have over here on the floor here, industrial carpeting, is very hard. Okay, so there's no problem of shotness. But if you have very plush carpeting, they used to have
because
it's kind of surround, exactly. Yeah, right, okay. But let's see, remember they used to have, used to be popping out of the shaggy, are they called? Yeah, right. You know, the shaggy carpet, right? So that the carpeting, this is hard. This stuff here is not going to be a problem. And certain types of chairs, it's very soft and so on. So kind of can surround the skin, can sink into a little bit if it's flush. So that's exactly what they're talking about over here. So that's one thing. Then Ein Arai L'Kilayim is important. Okay, the Bartimaeus says Levishas Arai Levishu. There's nothing temporary. In other words, it's also even if you only wear it for a moment. Okay, which leads to a big question about trying it on. Okay, trying it on. Because you have to have kavon and trying it on. So we assume for the can be mako, unless you know for sure that Hashanah, in which case you're not going to try it anyway, you can order buy it. But I mean, when you go to suit shopping, you don't have to have it tested first. Right. So, but there are a few heterah, but again, if you know that it's kilayim, then you can't wear it. Levishas arai, levisha. I'm only going to wear it on for 5 minutes, Rabbi. It's still also. Okay, it's still us, even if it's temporary. Again, trying it on, so that's generally speaking, you know, because it's not your kavana to wear it, you don't even know about it necessarily. Okay, anyway, so that's some discussion, even if you don't have the kavana. Then, in Mishnah Hay, I'm sorry, the end of Mishnah Bay says what you said, or afila gabi, first of all, it was kalayim afila gabi asara. Okay, with the prince and the pea. You even have 10 things, but the bottom one is kalayim. You shouldn't use that either.
Yeah,
okay, and then finally, yeah, okay, I'm sorry, but if you have it over you, the other way around, over you. Sheet probably is not a problem. Right, but if it's a plush carpet, you can kind of sink into it. But this kind of carpet won't be a problem, exactly. Okay, now, the other thing he mentions is afilu ligno v'samechas, to avoid the taxes. What does it mean, avoid the taxes? So some, Baruch Tanur has two interpretations on the next page. Some of my teachers said that they would wear these clothes to hide your Jewish clothes. You know, because they figured the Jews are going to be taxed higher, so if you wore the tzitzis, they wore something else. The only reason I'm wearing it is to cover up my Jewishness, so to speak, and not as comfort.
Like wearing the coat on the plane. Like,
to get right, exactly. So that still would be kilayim. I feel lignon samechas. Others say it's because when the taxes came in, they looked in your house and assessed what you have there. So I don't want to show I have so many shirts, so I'll wear 6 shirts. Oh, I got 3 shirts, you know. So I tell you, right? That's legal over time. That's what you're referring to, right? The tax collectors. Okay. Anyway, these dinam, but the last thing it does say in Mishnah Hey, back in 40, is mochrik, so it's mochrik kedarchan. Okay. Those who are selling can wear several things. Bilvachal yiskavnu, as long as they're not having the kavana to wear it for protection. Let's say a guy figures it's wintertime, so he wants to layer up anyway. Okay, so that is the problem. If he's only wearing it mamish because that's how he can transport his wares, then it's okay.
That's
how it looks like. Right, so that's okay. But if he has in mind that it's also comfortable, he realizes he's wearing it for that reason too, then it would be a problem.
If one of his garments is linen, one of his garments is wool. They're not together.
Right. So that's a further question. What is it? So now, the din there, I didn't mention it, but since we have, the din is, they're not connected at all, but the din is, it's okay, provided you can get the bottom off without taking off the top. Meaning, let's say I have tzitzis, okay? So I can take my tzitzis off without undoing my shirt. It's a little cumbersome, you can do it. You can even get your shirt off without taking your jacket off if you have a jacket. Like you unbutton it, you pull up the sleeve, you know, it's I think cumbersome. You don't have to take the jacket off all the way.
You can't wear wool
tzitzis
in a linen shirt then?
No, that you could, because you can get it off. I'm saying you can get it off. You can get the tzitzis, you can get it off.
Which one has to be?
Either one. You know, I can get the tzitzis out. I mean, they don't make
the shirt.
Do they make linen shirts nowadays? I don't think so. Oh, you do? Okay, so usually it's just
a cotton.
But okay, so that will be okay because you can get the tzitzis off. But let's say you have, just an example, socks and shoes. You cannot get the socks off without taking the shoes off, right? I don't think. Okay, so there, that would be a problem. Okay. Anyway, so just to see these dinim appear in the Rambam, Hilchos Kelayim, Perek Yud Hilchos Beis. Okay. Kate said it again, we said it, I don't have to read the whole thing again, but you can see it there. Kakile begotten mutal al sosam rochom, vein also voshim levad, o iskasos behen, you can't wear it or cover yourself with them, it has the psukim, aliyah sh'derach levisha also, aliyah sh'ein derach levisha, go on oel, someone asking, let's say my tent is made out of shatnez, but it's not touching me, it's like I live and move in such a tent, yes.
Okay, mutar leishiv tachtov. V'chein mutar leitar leishiv al matzos shel kelaim. You can sit on carpet remnants, whatever, made out of kelaim, or carpeting. Again, but the midrabanan were concerned about it because maybe a thread will come on your hand, you know, will come off the carpet and land on you and it'll cover you. You know, you'll sit in the carpet. Sometimes carpets shed. Okay, we know that, right? So therefore, some of the threads may shed on you. So then it's a problem. But again, it's tough. A shot in his thread will end up on me. Again, with this type of carpet that we have over here on the floor, nothing is shedding, no pieces are coming off. Okay. So again, that's in the Rambam over there. He speaks about the sellers who can wear it, and he speaks about the fact you can't temporarily, even lavriyachas hamechas. And the Shulchan Aruch has all these dinim in Siman Shin Aleph, Sif Aleph, okay, in 43. You don't have to read everything again. We get the point. Okay, now, an interesting side issue that I want to mention, I think it's worth knowing. The Gemara in that same daf in Nida 44, Samach Aleph Mabeis, talks about the following case. Tanar Abonon, Beged She'avad Bo Kilayim. I knew I had some shotness thread, and somehow it mistakenly got woven into the garment. I have no idea where it is now. Okay, it's lost. So I can't wear it. Okay, I can't wear it because I know that there's shotness in here. Okay, we'll see where I'm getting with this in a second. All right, so you can't wear it. Rashi says, She'avad Bo Shim Haya Makir Chutat Tem Beged Pishon Not Kobe Kosher. If you know where it is, so cut that piece out and you're safe. But you don't know where it is, so now this whole garment is puzzle. Okay, because you can't wear it. So, but he couldn't even sell it to a goy. It says in the Gemara, it says, Harezo Mechem Ovi Kachavim. Why? The Rashi says, because the Ovi can be sold to a Jew. It'll end up in Jewish hands. And Velo Yasav Mirdas Lachamor. Can't make it as a saddle for your donkey. Ava Oser Min Tachrichim Lameis. But for a dead person who is not obligated to miss it, you can make the shrouds, the Tachrichim, out of this. Okay. What is interesting is what I want to get to. Tosas there and need the samachal meizimach beged shavan. But come on, interesting question. Why is it that if one thread gets lost in it, why don't we say im tomaha bato belifta baruba? What happened to bittul barov? Like in Kol Torah Kula, what happened to bittul barov? Right, one garment. We have a whole big jacket, and one thing got lost. Tosas kasha livtul baruba. He brings a ride that should be. He tells a very important principle. The side point of tonight's shiur is an important principle to know. B'yesh lomar, the lo shayach bitul berov, the concept of bitul berov, is relevant elakisha iser mu'urov beheter. When you have something which is usser, gets mixed in with something which is mutter. Some trace meat gets mixed up with vegetables, pork and beans. Okay, right? In other words, that's when we talk about bitul. When there's iser and heter that get combined, so now we can say bittul. But here, it's not iser and heter. What is it? Wool individually is mutter to wear. Linen individually is mutter to wear. Right? It's only the combination that's a problem. So there's no concept of bittul by heter beheter. Kilayim. Sheshneim heter. V'nesarin al yidei hatarovas. Kach asar mubu kamamut. There's no bittul. Excellent question. Hold on. Yeah.
I was just going to say, yeah.
So that's the kasha with Tosas elsewhere. Since you asked it, okay, I was wondering if someone asked it. Very good. If that's the case, we should say the exact same thing about Bosom Cholim. But because also meat individually is okay and milk individually is okay. It's only the combination. Since you know bittul, we know there is bittul by Bosom Cholim. And with Shishim, you know, you have 60 again, we know there's bittul.
Even
right.
With one piece of steak
to eat. Right, with other kosher, that's even 1 and 3, right? 2 to 1 is also good. So how does, but Tosas sets forth a rule here that heter, beheter, two mutter items, there's no concept of bittul. So everybody, people ask.
I thought this is, the thread itself is
shot. Right. No, that's the case. That's not the case
this
here.
Isn't the case.
The case here is one linen thread got. Now, the question is certainly not certainly Rashi's way. Let's assume even on the bummer. But anyway, the kasha b'asul chol is with kasha. So without going to great detail now, what emerges from Rishonim will discuss is that, you know something, bittul by b'asul chol is not the same kind of bittul. When we say that a drop of milk in a pot of meat soup is bittul, it's for a different reason. It's because it doesn't impart flavor. The Torah says, well, we talked about it a few weeks ago, right? The Torah never says, not how to eat basar v'chol. Remember we talked about that? Parshas Re. It only says, you're not how to cook it. So why does it say it in that way? So the Gemara says, because the Torah is emphasizing derech bishul asr Torah. The Torah prohibited meat and milk if it was cooked. On a Torah level, I can eat a piece of salami with a piece of cheese. A cold salami and cold cheese. On a Torah level. Rabbanan said you can't. But we do a raisa, so we don't. We're observant Jews. We keep the Rabbanan too. Okay? But Derech Bishul, it was cooked together. A cheeseburger with the meat and the cheese were cooked together. That's also the raisa. But a cold piece of salami, a cold piece of American cheese is not a deraisa, okay? Because in order to ask you, now what does bishul mean, derech bishul? Bishul means that there was transference of flavor. So therefore, when we talk about basur chalav being batel, what we're actually saying is if there's more than shishim, the flavor wasn't transferred, so it never became basur chalav in the first place. It's not that it's bitel, okay? It adds up to the same thing, but it's a dip, that's why it's different. Okay, by boss of a chal, it's a lumdish approach, and there's more to say, and there rise to it, which I'm fine for now. But you understand that, Josh answered the question?
Yeah.
And then we came boss of a chal to begin with. It's a different type of people. Okay, now we're getting back to our issue. Okay, so the Rambam paskins this way. Paragil of Hilchus Kalayim, Hilchus Chabzayim, Begit Semer Shalom Bechut Shal Pishon, or they got, oh, and so I raise them, Krenik can't sell to go, etc., etc. Let's look in the Shulchan Aruch in some Reis Tari Tessif Aleph, and this is the point. Afilu Chut Kosuhu shall tsemer, bebeged godol shall pishtam, even one thread of wool in a big linen garment, or vice versa, is osir. Okay, it's osir. And there's no bitul, because that's what Amoy is. You hear that? So that's why we're very careful about this, even one single thread. In fact, the Mishnah in Kelayim in 49, Perek Tes Mishnah Yud, says, osos hagardin v'osos hakovsin. Okay, asuros mishum Kelayim. Okay, you know what that means? That means like tags or labels. Okay, if the kofsim, the cleaners, the dry cleaners, or the washers, they put labels or tags to know who to give the suit back to. Right? If they're fastened by a linen thread and it's a wool suit, that's a problem. And that's how the Rambam says in Perek Yud Halacha Chav Gimel. And again, the Shulchan Aruch Siman Shin Aleph Sif Tezvav. We're reading the Shulchan Aruch. Also kofsim and so on. Each person can recognize his name. If the label was wool and it was a linen garment or vice versa, I don't want that. It's not part of my clothes. I don't need that label there. Still osir. So based on all that, the Chai Adam in his work on Yerodeh called the Chochmas Adam, in Sharvis and Heter Klal Kuf Vav Osir, Hour 52, turn the page, just look at the last line that's on you for right now. He says, because of all of this, okay, call, look at the last words, call Yerei Shamayim, Yasem Malbusho Shaleba, Shum Chashash Isa L'chul Alma. Because of all this, Yerei Shamayim should make sure not to have any combination of wool and linen, whether it's this sheet to that sheet, it's woven together, it's not woven together. You know, as long as it's according to one sheet, it's a problem, stay away from it. That's what the Chochmah Zohar said. I want to just add that the Sefer HaChinuch here in Parshas Kisetze in Mitzvah Tavkuf Nunalef points out, 53, I don't know why we think otherwise, but some people do, so as I'm mentioning, V'noeg isu zeh b'chol makom v'chol zman b'schorm u'nekevas. This applies to women also. Okay, I don't know, but some people thought there's only men have to check their suits. It's not true. Okay, I've heard it. I've heard people think that. So it's not correct. It isn't right. Okay, it applies to women too. Yeah. Oh. Now, how about the shoes?
But
dress is usually not a problem, but a woman's suit could be a problem. A woman like to have these suits. Okay, now, to finish up on the issue with the Uggs, with the shoes. So first of all, some people said, it was about a half a year ago or less, that they had this whole controversy about Uggs. If you're interested in the subject, go online and look up Uggs and Shatnez. You'll see Lakewood, the Shatnez lab, discovered certain types of Uggs. Again, these are types of slippers and certain types. Had Shatnez in it. They raised a whole tone about it. Also in Gateshead, England, the Williamsburg and the Flatbush Shatnez lab said it's not a problem. It's such a minority. So they're not a problem. Anyway, we have a whole tumult.
Nobody.
It was found in so few of the types of shoes. In other words, they have. We'll see. We'll talk about that in a second. Okay, there's so many different styles. So then they put online, no, it was only a problem in these particular styles, not all Uggs. Okay, only they had, I think, they had pictures of, say, look online. They had the picture of seven different types of Uggs footwear that they found the problems in, all the other ones are fine. But the thing that even in all those seven, it's not automatic, and we'll get to this point at the end, and I'm in a minute, but... Again, it was in so few of them that they found it. They're not even all the same. that we don't have to worry about it. It's called a miyut. We'll get to it. Okay, we'll get to it in a second. So, but some people said, I think some rabbanim may have said that they didn't think there was a problem with shoes altogether, but that's not correct.
Like
that's no, that's not correct.
Well,
right, right. So that doesn't. But in terms of shatnez, it is. If you look at the Gemara Beitza of Tesvav and Aleph 54, Omar of Papa, Ardalin ain't by Mishum Kelayim. Ardalin is a type of footwear. Okay, but it's a question exactly what it is. Kelayim doesn't apply. Okay, what exactly it is? So Rashi says, Ra'isi b'tshuvas ha'gaonim shergilin l'lov shom tachas min aleihem. It was something they put under the shoe somehow, like what we do with rubbers, galoshes, something like that. It's a flat kind of thing. Okay, and some of the times they do have kelayim, but ain't b'shuv kelayim. Rashi is a cushion hang. It's very hard, and since it's not directly on the foot, it won't bend. It's like the hard carpet. It won't directly touch the foot. That's how he learns. Rabbeinu Chananel there in Beit HaTesvav and Bay says, "Ein b'hef 56, ein b'mishun kalayim, ein derech chimum b'cha." It's not done to warm or comfort. It's not for comfort purposes. And the Rambam in Hilchos Kalayim, Perikil HaTesvav, says the different reason. All the minah shul kalayim, ve'ein lo ekev. It has no back. It's just a flat slipper. It has no heel. Okay, it has no heel. He said, that's not a problem either. She'or ha'regel koshven or nenek kashar gub. The bottom of your heel is hard. It's a hard skin. It is, right? So in those days, it's more hard because you walk barefoot. Okay, but you know, even now, it's harder, so you don't get any runoff from it. So, yeah.
How did the warming work? I mean, we have the thing with the linens. Linens aren't necessarily for warming.
I guess warming is a broader definition of comfort. I guess for comfort. Okay? Anyway, the Shulchan Aruch rules this way. In Shin Aleph, Sif Yud Gimel, our dealer in, and again, different. So this particular type of shoe is not a problem of Kelayim. Okay? But, okay, other types are, and so it's not automatic to choose. So these, some of these UGG shoes, which are made with furry, like a furry, woolly, you know, cozy, you know, inserts, so that fleece and so on and so forth. So that's a question. Now, the question is like this. So do you have to have everything checked? Let's say even a suit. Do you have to have everything checked? Everything you've done has to be checked for shatnez, even shoes. So when it comes to examining for the presence of an iser, there are certain guidelines. Okay, I'll give an example. At what point does it have to be a reasonable possibility that there's an issue? Is it anything? I mean, as long as there's 1 in a billion chance of some halacha, there's discussion about it. So, for example, when it comes to checking an animal, you know, the Torah lists off, the Gemara really is, so based on the Torah, there are 18 things which render an animal trefa. But most of the time, we don't check for those things. We only check for the lungs. Why? Because that's more common. That already is a common thing, that an animal will have lesions in the lung. And certain lesions in the lung render the animal trefa. That's what's checked today. The others are not checked, okay, as a general rule. So the Ramban in his Chidush and Chulin, Yud Beis Manal, to us, Alecha 59, okay, he says, Bedika Sirchos Harei Ahokan Acharo, Rov Behemoth, Eimim Shum Trefus Bola, most animals are not trefa. Okay, most animals are not. And he said, for example, Paradum will rely on it. We don't kill it first. We do the whole part of the service. Or last week said, Eglar Rufa, we rely on it, right? So he said, on the other hand, sometimes you do have to check. So he says, Alpha Pichen, look down by right at the end. No go of Hosein of Avos Hosein of Avos, live though, Pesircha Shemereya. I mean, they Shemotsi Bohen Trefus Tadir. It's more frequent. And therefore, we don't rely Lechatchila on the Rove. Because Shemiuto Motsi, that's an important point. There's a concept called Rove. If in the majority of cases the problem is, of course you have to check. What about the minority? So now it depends how minority is minority. So it's what's called miot hamatsui. That means it's found. It's not so rare. Okay. What exactly is the percentage? Okay. Just before I get to that, Rosh Boar writes in the Tshuva Chelik Aleph Sim Reish Ayin Dalet. Okay. Talks about checking vegetables for insects. Right. And again, it's a contemporary question also. How common does it have to be for bugs to be found in this thing? Or I started to check, I didn't find any bugs. So that's the whole question. It goes by the leaf, it goes by the head. I don't go into vegetables now, but that's
eggs.
Huh?
Eggs.
The same as with blood spots and eggs. It used to be. So today, you don't. It's very rare to have any problem with blood. So it's just done because of tradition and so on. So on the blood spots, not really blood spots. Anyway, okay, but in Echanam, it's all the same thing. So the Rosh Boy, and that's true, but Chelek Ha'asimah and links. Checking bugs, we're checking the lungs. It has to be, we call a miyut hamotzi. So what exactly is the threshold over there? So the Rivash, let's finish up on the last page. 61, the Rivash in the Tshuva, in the Kuf Tzadi Aleph, is quite, I guess, lenient with the word. He says, in order for it to be a Miyat HaMotzoi, it has to be something which happens not half the time, but close to half the time. Well, that's not going to be a problem with Uggs. It's not close to half the time that you have it. Okay. However, the more accepted view among the posts is not this Rivash, but rather there's a Gemara in Baba Basra, Mishnah actually, Baba Basra, Dav Tzadi Gimel, that says when a person buys fruits, or sells fruits, or he sells figs, or he sells wine, okay, you know when you buy a huge batch, they're going to be a certain number that are no good. That's when you buy 100 of them, you know that some of them are no good. Okay, so what's considered a point where I can go back to the seller and say, hey, wait a minute, they're all rotten. And what percent? So there, it says regarding wine, 1 in 10, 10%. If it's more than 10%, that's called a miyut hamotzui. It's a minority, but it's very significant. If it's less than 10%, that's not significant. So the Mishkanos Yaakov, whose tshuvas are not printed, Mishkanos Yaakov, the Yaakov Karliner, was a Talmud of Chaim Volozhin. He has a collection of tshuvas called Mishkanos Yaakov, then Simon Yud Zion, in the Chelek Eredeia, which is unfortunately not in the Bar-Lan, so I couldn't reproduce it. But he said, based on that, you see, what's the definition of miyut hamotzui? 10%. So if it's in 10% of the shoes or whatever, then it's a problem. Less than that, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry.
You say Uggs or shoes.
Yeah, right. So that's a very big problem, and it's really not clear. I would say it's go by the manufacturer. And I'll mention one thing, in a second. Okay. I just want to say for full disclosure, the Shevet Halevi Rav Osner died a few years ago. In his shoes, Chelek Hesim Pehesim, there's no actual percentage. It goes by. It's different from different things. You got to see. Is this the kind of thing a guy would be? What is it? Oh, you say, oh yeah, it happened. You know, kind of somewhat subjective, but there are a couple of reasons. It seems to me to be lenient. At the end of this whole controversy, you look online. The Lakewood said of these seven, so you should get a check, but it's okay if you don't get a check. So I guess it's always better, the SSAs, to get a check. Okay, but you don't have to worry about it. Okay, my wife bought me UGG slippers. I'm not just tend not to wear them. Stop, not because it is. But once in a while, I was convinced that I didn't think it was a problem. This wasn't one of the seven. And you have to know the following things. I think there are a number of studies, so to speak, to be a little bit lenient about it. Okay. Number one, it seems to be in very few cases, and here's the point I want to mention. Even two pairs of the exact same, the way that things are manufactured, let's say they take these two chairs, the chairs are stuffed with something. Right? That could be stuffed with styrofoam, but sometimes it's stuffed with junk, right? It's a pillowcase or whatever. No two are the same. Now, they make them in China, wherever they make them, okay, Uggs, let's say. So they put in filler. Sometimes it could be wool, sometimes it could be linen. So, you know, in other words, you don't know. It's not even two that are the same. So it's rare that it's a problem with shatnez. That's one thought to be making. Another thing Shulchan mentioned, it's a race that he tested Olive. We said before that the wool and linen, there's no bittul, right? Yeah, but what if there are other fabrics, other materials? There's rayon, there's polyester, whatever. There's other things, cotton, or other things in the garment. So there is bittul. In other words, the little bit of linen can be bittul in the cotton, and now you can put wool with the cotton, right? Because the linen was swallowed up, so to speak, by the cotton. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says over here. Okay, in the beginning of some rate study test. So that's
on thread business.
No, because that's with the wool and linen alone. But when you have wool and linen, there's rayon, and then who knows what, or cotton, or whatever other, there is bittul. So most of the time in these things, there's probably other stuff. And then the last thing there are more mentions in days, if the summer makel, that the wool and linen don't touch, okay, there's wool on one side, wool in the front, linen in the back, and it's other stuff in the middle, and they're not near each other, even though technically they're connected, there's a shoe, leather, whatever it is, okay, that's another side. So maybe all these reasons, maybe there's reason to be lenient by Uggs. I think after the whole controversy, Baruch Hashem, the Jewish people survived. And, people, I think, continue to wear Uggs. Somebody told me, I asked in preparation of the show, I asked a couple of our bottom what their shita was on this. So one person told me he heard that the whole thing was something was set up by a competitor of Uggs. The whole thing was a bluff to begin with. I don't know if that's the case. But in any event, that gives you an overview about Shabbos and a little bit about the Uggs controversy. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
Can I tell my girlfriend I'm for Uggs? Okay, my friend.